And welcome in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for archived shows and other important information to help you regain your health. And let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you today?
Doing good. What about you?
I am doing well. Can't complain. Glad to have you back on the Monday program.
Thank you for having me. Excited to have a great show today. We're going to have, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a guest from Texans for Vaccine Choice. Deborah Hardy is going to join us. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit more before she comes on, though. Clarify a few things. Last week's show got a lot of good feedback from that. And I do want to clarify before we start talking today that this show is not intended to provide medical. I'm not giving a medical diagnosis or treatment. That's you and your personal physician, obviously. Make your decisions on what's best for you based off your individual risk and benefit ratio of whatever particular medical procedure you're considering. So that's clear. So this is for educational purposes only. And so we try to bring information, points of view, to help you make that informed decision. Unfortunately, it's quite obvious and clear due to censorship that the points of view that most of the public that I interact with, they seem to be getting informed from a one-sided point of view. So thank you, Wade Wilkes and AM 580, for having us on so we can talk about other points of view.
Yeah,
I think there should be robust debate.
I do, too. And, of course, this is brought to us by our valuable sponsors, invaluable sponsors, I should say. And we always recommend that listeners out there go out and buy stuff from them because they're the ones that make it all happen.
Right. So kind of along those lines, I want people to know I'm not doing this as an advertisement. I'm not paying for airtime to advertise Veritas Medical to drum up business or anything like that.
You really don't need it.
Yeah. I was asked many years ago. We're booked for 6 months. Now, I will say we've been kind of beta testing and playing around for the past 6 months, a wellness education program under a different entity than Veritas Medical. And we're about ready to just go full force with that. We've worked out a few kinks, and we've added some better ways to bring this education and support with our wellness navigators, basically our health coaches. So once that's really set in the next few weeks, I will be promoting that and advertising and possibly paying for advertisement for that. I want to advertise the heck out of education. Yeah. Cha-ching, Wade.
Oh, that sounds great.
I'm thinking billboards, airplanes with banners behind it, because I am passionate about keeping people out of the doctor's office and out of the hospital. And literally, I've said it many times, to shut Veritas Medical down because there's not a need for medical. God designed us that way to be healthy and well. It's lack of knowledge, deception, misinformation, half-truths, some outright lies, some propaganda, some one-sided information, censorship and book burning, and I could go on and on. So I'm here spending a valuable hour of my day, which I love to do, and we've been doing for years now. When Wade first called and asked if I'd be willing to come talk about health stuff, well, of course, that's what I feel like God made me to do, and that's my mission and goal in life, is to help educate people on the truth. Doesn't mean I know the whole truth, but I have a perspective that's a deeper, broader, more informed even, and it's a perspective that I'm not ashamed to say, and I claim this bias all the time, that my bias is I believe in God, the God of the Bible. I believe the Bible's every word of it's true, but that we kind of have been lulled to sleep by religious practices where we don't actually understand the amazing, I call it the quantum physics book. it's 66 books, actually, written over 1,500 years, 40 different authors, 3 different languages, over 3 different continents, but it all comes together to tell this one amazing story of love and oneness and unity and sacrificial love. Everybody in a position of authority and power, if they believed in that book and that word of truth, would be making decisions that would benefit those under their authority, not self-serving. It would be self-sacrificing, selfless, not selfish. It's all about, you know, trying to rule for the benefit of others and make decisions that would help others. And that's what we try to do. I try to do. So that's my perspective and my bias. And I'm not ashamed to say that. But so I just want to make that clear. This show is about education. There's a perspective that obviously if you don't like it or agree with it, you don't have to listen. I try to say things in love and truth. And I got to be careful. I can get emotional, fired up, and prideful and arrogant, especially when I read a Twitter from Dr. Jha on March 24th, 2021. And Dr. Jha is the doctor who was called by some senators to testify in the Ron Johnson Senate committee hearing, where my, I'll say, friend and colleague, Dr. Peter McCullough, and Dr. Fareed, they were called to testify. There were three clinicians who have treated thousands of COVID patients were called to testify about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and zinc and these other things. And then there was Dr. Jha, who was called to testify with a counterpoint of view. Dr. Jha had not at that time, and I still think to this time, has not treated a single COVID patient. He's an academic physician. And his tweet on the 24th said, "Pleased at Krispy Kreme is offering up free daily donut for those who have been vaccinated. If that sweetens the deal for you to get vaccinated, I'm all in. And right now, I'd rather not hear about donuts and weight gain. Pandemic, people. Pandemic." End quote. So when I see quotes like that, and that's fine. Dr. Jha has his opinion and has his opportunity to have freedom of speech and expression. That's protected by our Constitution, First Amendment. But those are the things that motivate me to go give a different point of view and to educate people a little bit. In fact, on my Telegram account, our Veritas Medical's Telegram account, a couple weeks ago, I wrote a little article, or not, you know, a post about obesity. Because it's clear, obesity, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome moves you into a high-risk category as far as getting COVID-19 and being affected by it, getting severe symptoms, getting hospitalized, getting intubated, and dying. It's clear that obesity and all the things that come after obesity, including hypertension and cholesterol issues and diabetes and sleep apnea and heart disease and Alzheimer's, it's all related. All that's metabolic dysfunction. We're not metabolically fit. As we talked about, the NHANES data from 2016 said only 12% of Americans are metabolically fit, meaning they have a good fasting insulin level, a good HDL level, a low triglyceride level, a waist circumference for men at 35 inches at the belly button and women 30 inches. Only 12% of Americans, and that was in 2016. We're probably down to 6%. So the Telegram post I put was 5 easy steps to ensure you put on weight. First, fortify the iron, the food supply. Iron fortification of our food supply is number one. Number two, add sugar to everything. And number three, replace traditional fats like lard, tallow, and real butter and heavy whipping cream with modern, highly oxidizable, highly processed, especially when they're hydrogenated oils like cottonseed oil and soybean oil. So after Dr. Jha put that, please, let's not talk about obesity. We're in a pandemic. The pandemic we're in is obesity and metabolic syndrome. So I went and looked up Krispy Kreme's ingredient list. Let me read you. Number one, first ingredient, enriched bleached wheat flour. Parentheses, contains bleached wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, highly pro-inflammatory, thiamine, mononitrate, riboflavin, folic acid. So basically, man has so corrupted God's wheat, and we've so processed it, there's no more nutrition left in it. And if you ate unenriched bleached flour, it would kill you over time. That's what happened initially. So they started to enrich it with these synthetic B vitamins, just enough to keep you alive. And then they added the extra iron. I'm not going to go off on the iron topic today. We've talked about that many times before. But that's your first ingredient. modern flour that your body processes into sugar quickly. Within 5 seconds of you chewing on this modern flour, it raises your blood sugar as fast as drinking a can of soda. So enriched wheat flour with iron in it. Next, dextrose. That's a form of sugar. Next, vegetable shortening. Parentheses, partially hydrogenated soybean and cottonseed oil. Water, sugar, soy flour, and it goes on and on and on. So right there, your top four ingredients, the flour with the iron, the sugar, the soybean and cottonseed oil, and that's just the bread. Then you get the glaze, the first ingredient, sugar. So yeah, let's just load everybody up with the top three things that drive obesity and drive metabolic syndrome and increase your risk of contracting COVID-19 and having a poor outcome from COVID-19. Let's give people one of these free terrain disruptors every day for the rest of the year. Okay. I mean, are we that blind? And I've seen this promoted. So, it's things like that that motivate me to get out there and speak the truth a little bit. So, I'm going to say, visit with your own physician, make your own personal medical decisions. This show's educational only. My perspective is biased to that God created us. So I know it's hard for people to know what to do. They hear things on this show that they don't hear on the conventional corporate news. And they go back and forth. I mean, they didn't hear that there were 50 more. This is in the UK. I just pulled this last night or saw the headline. Since last week when I spoke, 60 more deaths and 74,000 more injuries reported on the UK government's reporting system for adverse reactions to the COVID vaccine. The European data, which is called UDRA Vigilance, that's the European database for suspected drug reactions. So they're tracking the adverse reactions as of through March 13th. 3,964 deaths reported on that system and 162,610 injuries being attributed to the COVID-19 vaccine on this reporting system. And in the United States, our reporting system, via the Health and Human Services Department, CDC, is the VAERS reporting system, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Latest data dump was this Friday. So this is through March 19th, 2021. 44,606 recorded adverse events, including 2,050 deaths following the injections of the emergency authorized COVID vaccine. This included 7,485 visits to the emergency room, 826 permanent disabilities, 4,450 hospitalizations, 97 reports of miscarriage or premature birth. Since Johnson & Johnson's shot or vaccine's been out for the past week, there's been 1,107 adverse events reported to that particular vaccine with 16 deaths reported. I will, two caveats here on both sides of the points of view. One side is the CDC continues to maintain that none of these deaths were caused by vaccines. On their website, they call these coincidences, and they state that, a review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, medical records, revealed no evidence that vaccination contributed to patient deaths, end quote. That's CDC's point of view. There was a study commissioned by Harvard in 2010 that estimated that this reporting system called VAERS, it's estimated that less than 1% of adverse events get reported. There's been two other studies I've seen that have concluded basically the same thing. One study said 10% of adverse events are reported. And possibly that's more now because there's more of a highlight on this. Even though it's not on corporate media, more people are getting their information from non-corporate media. So maybe we're seeing a higher rate of reporting to VAERS. But why isn't this being reported? It's a good question. I think we need to all be informed. We're going to get into some physicians from Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Baylor Medical School, who raised concerns prior to the vaccination being approved and since then. These are legitimate concerns. I'll just go ahead and say J. Patrick Whalen, MD, PhD. I'm concerned about the possibility that the new vaccines aimed at creating immunity against SARS-CoV-2 spike protein have the potential to cause microvascular injury to the brain, the heart, the liver, and the kidneys in a way that does not currently appear to be assessed in safety trials of these potential drugs, end quote. That was J. Patrick Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N, M.D., Ph.D. And Dr. Whelan's not a, quote, anti-vaxxer, which I'm going to talk about anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists and quacks in a minute. And if your source of news and information is using those three terms, my opinion is you should not be following those folks anymore. We'll talk about that in a sec, though. So Whelan trained at Harvard, Texas Children's Hospital, and Baylor College of Medicine. Those are prestigious institutions. This guy's, I don't know him, appears to be a pretty well-educated guy, well-respected guy. Has degrees in biochemistry, medicine, and rheumatology, and for 20 years he's worked as a pediatric rheumatologist. And that was his quote on December 8th, 2020, when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, their Committee for Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, they asked for public submissions of any concerns before they approved these emergency authorizations. And that Dr. Whelan sent in a long letter. And that was his big concern. Is this spike protein, if it is found throughout the body, in the tissues, in particular in the blood vessels, the tiny little blood vessels, microvascular injury to the brain, heart, liver, and kidneys was his concern. Well, of those 2,000 deaths reported on VAERS that the CDC says are not related, at least that's their current stance, it may change in the future, that would, when you read each report of death, it appears on the surface that it could be caused from these microvascular injuries, which would be heart attack, stroke, blood clots. There was a young lady with, this was a 39-year-old from Utah, I believe her liver shut down. They have what appears to be overwhelming immune response to these different organs and multi-organ system failure. Well, why didn't we hear from, why wasn't Dr. Whelan's concerns highly publicized or even any bit publicized? Dr. Dolores Cahill, immunology professor, molecular genetics expert, she's concerned about these mRNA injections causing an, quote, autoimmune reactions that may result from the mRNA injection months later. Dr. Jerry L. Spivak, an expert on blood disorders at Johns Hopkins University, told the New York Times Tuesday, this is from an article, quote, it is a medical certainty, end quote. And they were talking about Pfizer's COVID vaccine being the cause of death for Dr. Gregory Michael. We've talked about Dr. Michael in the past. He's the obstetrician in Florida who died at, shortly after the injection. His platelet counts dropped to zero. He had an autoimmune reaction where his own body started to attack his platelets. So his platelets went to zero and he bled, had a brain bleed, and died. Robert F. Kennedy's been very, very vocal. It's one of the sources of information, childrenshealthdefensefund.org. And here was his concern early on, and to this day, quote, scientists first attempted to develop coronavirus vaccines after China's 2002 SARS-CoV-1 outbreak. Teams of U.S. and foreign scientists vaccinated animals with four of the most promising vaccines. At first, the experiment seemed successful as the animals developed a robust antibody response to coronavirus. However, when the scientists exposed the vaccinated animals to the wild virus, the results were horrifying. Vaccinated animals suffered hyperimmune responses, including inflammation throughout their bodies, especially in their lungs. Researchers had seen this same, in quote, enhanced immune response during human testing of the failed RSV vaccine test in the 1960s, where two children died. So what Robert Kinney's simply pointing out is we've tried to do coronavirus vaccines in the past, and the animal studies each time were pretty, the results were pretty poor as from a toxicity and adverse reaction and death standpoint. Dr. James Lyons Wheeler, a senior research scientist at University of Pittsburgh, he wrote in a published scientific paper on the previous efforts to develop coronavirus vaccines, quote, from Dr. James Lyons Wheeler, In SARS, a type of priming of the immune system was observed during animal studies of SARS spike protein vaccines, leading to increased morbidity and mortality in vaccinated animals who were subsequently exposed to the wild SARS virus. The problem, highlighted in two studies, became obvious following post-vaccination challenges with the SARS virus. So what Dr. Weiler's pointing out and Robert Kinney are pointing out is in the previous animal studies, the problem was, yes, antibodies were created, but then when the next coronavirus season hit or there was exposure to the wild-type virus on purpose, there was this enhanced immune response. Dr. Peter Hortz, Baylor College of Medicine, testified before Congress about the dangers of accelerating the coronavirus vaccine development, saying, quote, "The unique safety problem of coronavirus vaccines was discovered 50 years ago while developing the respiratory syncytial virus RSV vaccine," end quote. Then later on, he went on to say, quote, "Paradoxical immune enhancement phenomenon means vaccinated people will still develop the disease, get sicker, and die," end quote. So we've seen this enhanced immune response with coronavirus vaccine attempts in the past. So I'm not saying that the scientists today haven't conquered that somehow, figured that out. They hadn't prior to 2019 and 2020 in these initial studies. We bypassed the animals. I looked at the exclusion criteria for the test subjects in those original vaccine trials, and basically these were the cream of the crop healthy. If you had any disease, any medication, it seemed like. I mean, reading through that exclusion criteria, you couldn't be in the original vaccine trial unless you were exquisitely healthy. So there are legitimate concerns. Even Dr. Bashi, I mentioned last week, PhD, he's a vaccinologist insider. He's a global director of vaccine programs in the past, including working for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And he called for the mass vaccination campaign against COVID-19 to end. He did an interview with Discernible, and he speaks about one of his primary concerns with COVID-19 vaccines, which is immune escape, is what he calls it. And basically what Dr. Bashi describes is when you roll out a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic, you're going to pressure that virus for a more virulent strain to emerge. And this is a quote from Dr. Gerrit van den Bashi, PhD, quote, "The single most important public health emergency of international concern," talking about this immune escape. And I'm just giving a quick sampling.
What do you make of, on the text line, says, have you brought up to about the New York requiring the vaccine to come into the state, or cruise ships requiring travel? Maybe some airlines. I mean, pretty soon it's going to be required for admission into a state or on getting on an airplane or a cruise ship. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great time for a break, because when we come back, we're going to have Rebecca Hardy from Texans for Vaccine Choice on the show, and she could answer that probably better than I can. I mean, of course, my thought on that is that's pretty crazy. I didn't even get into some of the quotes from these doctors that are saying, don't vaccinate people that have already had COVID. There's a lot of evidence that this could create a major problem in the vasculature. It will create all these microthrombi. So that's one issue right there, right off the top of the... There's evidence that it could be dangerous for people that have had COVID to get the vaccine. So therefore, we should at least add to that, show me that you've had COVID. But we could go, and then you can be exempt from the vaccine and all those restrictions. But this gets into more of a freedom issue, liberty issue, and informed consent issue. It gets into a deep, deep discussion. So we'll bring in Rebecca Hardy after the break. Y'all stick with us. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, with You're the Cure. Check out VeritasMedical.com. archived programs, and other important information to help you regain control of your overall health. That's VeritasMedical.com. We have a special guest on the phone with us on today's show. Of course, Rebecca Hardy with Texans for Vaccine Choice is with us on the show. Along the way, if you have any questions at all, feel free to text us at any time throughout the broadcast at 806-745-5800.
All right. Thank you, Wade. Yes, we are back and excited to have Rebecca Hardy with us. She's with TexansForVaccineChoice.com is the website. You can go check that out. I want to say this isn't about anti-vax and pro-vax kind of thing. It's about informed consent. I mean, we're proposing to do a medical procedure, a medical technology, even if you want to call it that, this COVID-19 gene therapy. But just in general, even with kids and their vaccine schedule, which we'll talk about here in a second, is much larger than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. But the point being, we're electing to do a medical procedure. We're going to do something to you. So obviously, any medical procedure, if you're going to go in and have a surgery on your back to try to correct a bulging disc, you want to know what are the odds that's going to help you and what are the odds it's going to hurt you. And then balance that out. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but we can be informed and educated and prayerfully consider these decisions, all decisions in life, but in particular with medical decisions. We should have all the information. I mean, our body's a sacred creation from God. And if we're going to start manipulating it, and I'm not anti-medical technology and doing things to try to help suffering and help people and advance medicine and all that, although I do think you can improve on God. And if we just steward our terrain through the four pillars of nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, we shouldn't need a doctor or much medical technology at all. But that's a whole other topic. The point being, informed consent, weigh it out. What are the odds this germ's going to hurt me? And what are the odds this medical technology is going to hurt me? And which is going to hurt me worse or less, or, you know, get the information. So that's what we're about here. We're for everyone being informed, and then you get to freely decide what's best for you and your family. All right. And last thing, I said I wasn't going to talk much, Rebecca. I'm sorry. Last thing is, and we'll probably get into this too, as I've said before on the show, vaccines can injure. There's no doubt. We've paid out over $4 billion in compensation for injuries, and that's probably where some estimates are 1% to 3% of the vaccine injured actually get compensated. But for sure, that's on record, over $4 billion we've paid out as taxpayers through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Court. Okay, Rebecca Hardy, Director of Operations and State Policy, Texans for Vaccine Choice. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. I know you're super busy. We're just on a call prior to jumping on our show, so thank you, Rebecca, for making time for us. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is a real honor.
Well, Rebecca, the honor's ours, and I love for our listeners to hear from our guest kind of as much or as little as you want to share of your personal testimony of how you got who you are and how you got to be doing what you're doing today. So feel free to share as much of that story and journey as you'd like.
Well, thank you. Well, I will keep it brief because I really want to dive into some of these burning questions that we kind of reviewed of what we want to talk about today. But yes, I'm Rebecca Hardy. I really have the pleasure and honor of directing the policy here at Texans for Vaccine Choice. You know, Texans for Vaccine Choice, like you said, we are not an anti-vaccine organization. We stand for informed consent, medical privacy, and vaccine choice, and we are really on the front lines of advancing and protecting those tenets. Personally, you know, before Texans for Vaccine Choice launched, I was a speech pathologist and kind of was a, you know, my husband and I had made some very alternative decisions regarding vaccinations for our two daughters, and I kind of had my head down leading a quiet life as a speech pathologist. Then in 2015, a state representative out of Dallas filed essentially a mandate for school enrollment. You know, in the state of Texas, we have children can attend school with vaccine exemptions, and it was that bill that kind of woke me up to, our rights are really only one bill away from being turned over. So, and it's really my work as a speech pathologist that kind of woke me up to, maybe not all vaccines are good for all people all the time. When I was a young woman right out of graduate school, I like to call myself that at the time I was a vaccine agnostic. You know, I hadn't had a vaccine in eons. It wasn't even something on my radar. But as I was setting up my practice out of grad school, I had all these moms coming in with their, you know, young children with distinct but vaguely similar stories of they were developing fine, and now I'm here seeking services because of some regression. And, you know, 50% of the time these moms said, and it was after a shop visit. And I remember, you know, this was before husband and before babies in my life, but I remember going home at night thinking, you know, not all of these moms can be wrong. You know, God instills in parents, especially mothers, to know every twitch, yawn, blink, sneeze, you know, everything of their babies. And they know when something's different. And I just remember having this aha of, I choose to believe these mothers. They have nothing to gain from sounding any sort of alarm on this vaccine program.
Yeah.
So that's my personal story. And like I said, Texans for Vaccine Choice is not here to tell anybody not to vaccinate. We're not here to dismantle the vaccine program in America. We simply believe that informed consent is wholly lacking, and we would like to see those protections advanced in our state. And obviously, with the threat of COVID-19 vaccine mandates, you know, kind of coming down the pike, we of course want to ensure that those mandates have no place in our free state.
Amen. I agree. And two things you said. One, you know, all vaccines for all people at the exact same time, this one-size-fits-all approach, just on the surface, as a logically, critically thinking person, I think we could agree with, everyone should agree that, yeah, we should at least look at that. You know, maybe there are some kids that are at more high risk, and I've read a quote, I don't have it with me today, but Professor Kelly at Johns Hopkins Kennedy Krieger Institute saying, yes, Yates at 11 months when he was sick, he got his vaccines and he regressed into autism. It was because he was predisposed, because he had mitochondrial dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point, is there's, you know, we should have the ability to educate ourselves and then choose and discern, is my kid maybe at a higher risk?
Well, and there's no pre-screening done
mm-hmm.
in this country for those that could, you know, have those disorders that would make them more susceptible to adverse reactions and vaccine injury. Also, you know, it's important to point out that it's the exact same vaccine that we're giving day-old babies that we give to, you know, 300-pound men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the exact same dosing. It's the exact same vaccine, and it's there's no, you know, you would not line up 100 people of both genders, all races, all lifestyles, all ages with strep throat and prescribe them the exact same antibiotic.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Some of them would die because they have a penicillin, you know, allergy, you know, and some would just not get better because they need a much larger dose.
Yep.
You know, we would never have this kind of cookie cutter, one size fits all approach to any other medical intervention. But
mm-hmm.
yet with vaccines, we just kind of paint it with a wide brush of, yep, all good for all people all the time.
Right.
And it's really an irresponsible approach to a medical intervention.
Yep. And there's a doctor, Houman, I may be pronouncing his name wrong, Dr. Houman Nourchasm. He's a cardiothoracic surgeon and also known now as a patient safety advocate. He's written 3 letters to the FDA about the COVID-19 vaccine in particular because of what you're talking about, you know, this one-size-fits-all approach. And he is, quote, here's his quote, if we carelessly and indiscriminately vaccinate people already infected with the virus, his big push is let's screen. If you've already been infected with COVID-19, there's lots of indications and research and provable reasons as to why you wouldn't want to get the vaccine. It could actually harm you more. Mm-hmm. You're getting all the risks with no benefit. Again, pointing to the one-size-fits-all thing. And I want to just real quick, Robert F. Kennedy, I want to make a point here because the story you told about, you know, you decided to believe these moms. So Robert Kennedy talks about how for 20 years he was just pounding the streets and out there filing lawsuits and going against all these big coal-burning plants and these other polluters mm-hmm. of mercury. He was a big water, clean water guy, environmentalist guy, and the mercury pollution in the water was killing the fish and contaminating the fish to the point pregnant women aren't supposed to eat fish because of the mercury in the fish. And he spent all these years in lawsuits, but it was moms that started coming to him. He would be given a speech somewhere about clean water, and they would bring the research, and they would bring their personal testimony about their kids regressing after some vaccines, and that if he's really about cleaning the environment of mercury exposure and women being exposed with fish, consuming fish, he should look at the vaccines that contain mercury. So his point was, back then, no one ever called him anti-fish. Because he was trying to get the mercury out of the fish. But as soon as he shifted to the number one source of mercury in our kids is the vaccines, all of a sudden he's anti-vaxxer, and that word means don't listen to this person. I mean, complete shutdown and censorship.
That term, anti-vaxxer, it's been a highly effective marketing term that it's really become this very convenient way to shift the conversation away from, why you need to tell me why you don't think I have the right to define an experimental vaccine, an experimental product with no long-term safety data by companies that have paid billions in criminal fines. It really is a very convenient way to just kind of brush us off, but yet you haven't answered that question.
Right. The burden of proof should be on these convicted felons who paid out, like you said, billions, and who have never been able to produce this technology in the past. They've tried. Moderna's tried for 10 years, and in 2017, 16, 18, I've read where they've told their investors, sorry, we had to give up on this mRNA technology. It was too toxic. We couldn't get it to work without it being too toxic, but now we're supposed to just jump right in.
Magically, with warp speed, Project Warp Speed, it's been done, and it's perfect, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Well, and it's also, I think we just need to camp on that point one more paragraph here and just say, these same companies, that have produced these vaccines on the current childhood vaccine schedule, Pfizer, all these companies are the same companies that brought us the opioid crisis, the Vioxx crisis, you name it. They have a sordid history of releasing products based on fraudulent data where they knew it was harming people. They ramrodded it through the FDA anyway and had to pay out billions in damages when their products hit the market and started hurting people. But I just want to remind your listeners that in 1986, President Reagan, for all the good he did for our country, he signed this bill, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, in the mid-1980s, that removed all liability from vaccine makers. So these same companies that have had to pay out billions in damages for their other pharmaceutical products get a pass on their vaccines. And to quote Robert F. Kennedy, he says, we're supposed to believe that these companies have found Jesus when it comes to vaccines, even though they are convicted felons. So it's just an important reminder for your listeners that maybe these pharmaceutical companies don't always have the best interest of the public in mind. I read an article just a couple of weeks ago about how Pfizer's already predicting they will make $15 billion off of this COVID-19 vaccine in the first 2 years. So I make no apologies for questioning that perhaps they are putting profits over patients.
Yeah. Well, me too. And to not be able to question that, I think it's complete naivety to see that $15 billion number and know when there's that much money at stake that corruption isn't going to potentially move in somewhere, to not at least question that or have a magnifying glass on this non-FDA, emergency authorized only medical technology they've released. We need to be extra vigilant in monitoring these folks. And last week on the show talked about some ladies locally that went to get their vaccine from a patient's testimony to me. And they, within a week, five of these ladies that had their vaccine party passed away from heart attack or in their sleep. And those aren't being reported on VAERS because the doctors aren't seeing a correlation. Now, I'm not saying I don't know these ladies. I'm not saying they weren't. Maybe just going to have a heart attack anyways. My point is we should have an extra magnifying glass on every one of these patients and track them very, very closely to look for this signal of harm. And that's appears to me that we're probably not doing as good a job as we should on that. Let's talk about real quick, Rebecca, more about the organization. What does Texans for Vaccine Choice, what are y'all actually doing? How can people learn more? How can people help y'all if they feel so inclined? Tell us more about the organization.
Well, wonderful. Well, so we currently, we are in the middle of the Texas legislative session. Just a quick little civics lesson. You know, the Texas legislature meets for 140 days every odd year. So we are about halfway through the 2021 legislative session in the state of Texas, and I want to remind your listeners that when the legislature is convened, your rights are on the line. So whether it's life issues or property tax issues or gun issues or, of course, your medical freedoms, all of these issues are on the line. And Texans for Vaccine Choice during the legislative session provides boots on the ground at the Capitol every day, ensuring that our rights are not infringed on. In fact, I'm excited to announce that we have nearly triple the bills that we are supporting this session than we have on our opposed list. You can go to texansforvaccinechoice.com. Under resources, you can find the 2021 legislative session and follow along with us with our bill list. And we're so thankful for our champion legislators who have taken our legislation, filed it. In fact, three of our priority bills have hearings this week. And so it's so nice not to have just bill authors, but bill fighters, ones that are willing to, you know, work for our hearings and get those called. So,
awesome.
So that's what we do during the legislative session. During the off-legislative session, we are very busy with conferences and other events, you know, going to spread the message. We do a lot of casework where people have whether it's an employment issue or an enrollment issue in school, we do a lot of casework with people and their vaccine exemptions if they encounter an issue as well. And, of course, we do, as much, media interviews and such to spread the word and the message of, you know, medical freedom in the state of Texas as well. That was a very brief description of what we do. We do a lot around here.
No, I bet. I know y'all are super busy.
We are approaching nearly 100,000 members. This group started. It's really kind of amazing story. This group started as a text message thread back in 2015 when that state rep filed a bill. And from that text message thread with a couple of concerned moms grew Texans for Vaccine Choice. And we have been called the, you know, fastest growing, most influential grassroots group that the state of Texas has ever seen. And it's been a wild ride, but one I wouldn't trade for anything around here.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. We can go past hour a little bit if you have the time to do that.
I do. I just want to be respectful. I saw the time.
No.
I was like, oops, we've already gone over.
No, we're good. We started late, actually, so we've got a few more minutes, actually. Probably the number one question I get is from employees who are saying their employers are requiring the COVID-19 vaccine. Can you kind of give the listeners just the broad overview of what's the law on that, or what are their rights, or how can they maybe exempt themselves and still not be fired, if that's possible?
Yep, excellent question. So right now, you know, while this vaccine is under the EUA, the Emergency Usage Authorization, there really are supposed to be severe limitations on how this vaccine can be mandated, in that it really can't. What we are coming across is that a lot of employers are not thinking that through, or just ignoring the law. We have had so many inquiries regarding employee rights that we have created an entire one pager on employee exemption rights that is available on our app. I'm happy to announce we have an app in both the Google Play and Apple stores. You just search Texans for Vaccine Choice in those app stores, and our app should just pop right up. And under resources, we have an employee exemption rights page, or one pager, that you can download and print. There's a lot of room for fighting these employer mandates that we outline. What is also amazing is State Representative Stephanie Cliff, who is a nurse and sits on Governor Abbott's expert vaccine allocation panel, is a firm believer in informed consent, and is adamant that nobody is coerced into getting this vaccine. And so she is listed on that one pager with her Capitol office as a resource for any employee that needs help navigating this exemption process. Her office has been very helpful with individuals that have come across this situation. So we are big believers in empowering people to advocate for themselves when they need it. And so we try our best to empower them with the tools that they need.
Oh, that is awesome. Do you have any thoughts or predictions? You know, the text we had right before the break, talking about New York City, looking like, and I haven't seen that news, but I guess they're trying to implement something for vaccine passports. Just that whole concept of restriction of travel or going into a sporting event or a movie theater or whatever. Do you see that really rolling out? And is it going to be state legislatures that will kind of be responsible for that not happening?
You know, this is one of this concept of a vaccine passport would have been unthinkable, you know, even a year ago, much less 5 years ago. But it's stuff that it's a concept that Texans for Vaccine Choice has heard hints of and rumblings of for the past several years. And we thought this is something that is likely coming. And the rapid pace of some of the vaccine rollout that has happened has even been shocking to us, honestly, even though it has not caught us by surprise, but it is, you know, just jaw dropping how they are just, the agenda is very, very out in the open. Mm-hmm. And my question to the vaccine passport crowd is, you know, why do you even need them if your vaccines work? You know, why is that? And then we have, you know, the FDA is not even hiding the fact that these vaccines do not, you know, are not proven to prevent infection, and they're not proven to prevent transmission. So what's the point? So then we have a healthy, unvaccinated individual that has no signs of illness, but is just considered diseased simply because they lack a pharmaceutical. Like, I was not born vaccine deficient, you know, mm-hmm. And nobody else was. It's become the conspiracy theory now is that immune systems work, right?
Yeah.
So, it's really, you know, why would a healthy, unvaccinated person be barred from participation in society, community events, even grocery stores, or, you know, et cetera, when the unvaccinated can still be infected and potentially transmitting the disease as well?
Yeah.
It's really horrifying. I did read an article from Governor DeSantis in Florida who has said this is a horrible idea and will not be coming to Florida. So I applaud I this whole time I just have gone out of my way to applaud the truth tellers and the ones that are standing up to this tyranny. And so I just want to give a plug for the governors that are doing the right thing as well.
Yeah, and we really need to support those folks and the people that stand for freedom and liberty. And I want to remind everybody, COVID-19 survival rates, if you're 0 to 19 years old, it's 99.997 survival rate. 20 to 49 years old, 99.98. 50 to 69 years old, 99.5%. So we're talking about something that 99.9% of people under 50 are going to survive anyways. And this is in a standard American population that is predicted by 2030 to be 50% obese and 25% severely obese. And we have Dr. Jha congratulating Krispy Kreme for giving out donuts to everybody who's been vaccinated. So our trajectory of obesity, which puts you at risk for COVID-19 and influenza and all the respiratory viruses, that's the real pandemic, and we're encouraging it, and there's no end in sight, and it's going to make you at more risk for COVID. So, but even considering the standard American, it is that metabolically unfit, it's a 99.9% survival rate in under 50. And even at 70-plus years old, 94.6%, and that's without even including the ivermectin data and the hydroxychloroquine data that's been, unfortunately, not on corporate news either. Dr. Peter McCullough was at the legislature there in Texas a week or two ago and gave his testimony and really got pretty heated trying to encourage the legislature to do more to get the truth out as far as these aren't officially treatments, but there's lots of data on decreased mortality and hospitalization with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. However, if we officially say those are treatments, then suddenly the emergency use authorization is no longer valid. You can't be authorizing these experimental vaccines under emergency use if there's a known treatment and therapy. There's some more evidence that we need to take a hard look at. Is there potential corruption, potential bias with money involvement here? So there's so many things to talk about here, but I'll give you the last word.
Well, with this COVID-19 vaccine, I think the biggest things that I want to get across is that there is no FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine. I know no matter how many times the mainstream media says that they're approved, these are unapproved products. Emergency usage authorization in no way, shape, or form equates to FDA approval on these products. Additionally, the people that are receiving this are essentially the phase 4 trial participants. You know, if you go to the clinical trials of these vaccines, they go into 2022 and 2023. The trials are not going to be done until then, and people that are receiving this are the phase 4 trials. And if you choose to get it, then I fully support you, but you need to understand what you are signing up for. And the only way this EUA even got through was because there was no quote approved treatment or cure. That's a condition of the EUA. So that's why you saw, and throughout the entirety of 2020, anybody that voiced, anything about inhaled steroids or HCQ or ivermectin were just silent, censored, deplatformed, and quashed. But then after the EUA, the EUA was issued, you start slowly seeing more and more articles coming about how these are effective treatments. But it doesn't really matter. We have the EUA, and the train has left the station here. One more thing, and I know we're running out of time, but what's also very frustrating to see is that now all of the people that participated in the 2020 trials that received the placebo are now all eligible and being encouraged to go get the vaccine. And so I just want to remind everybody that by doing so, we have completely removed our control group. Mm-hmm. And so the long-term studies here will, yes, there's going to be plenty of unvaccinated people in the community, but as far as the clinical trials, they have completely undone the control group, and I will let your listeners draw their own conclusions on why that is a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, and it's, we're not trying to induce, obviously don't, we're not trying to induce fear, but even a state of disbelief. I mean, for the, a listener who hasn't really been tuned into the fact that our medical system has been producing poor outcomes for a number of decades now, and that our, the medical education is slanted towards pharmaceutical as opposed to natural therapies or just stewardship of your terrain through proper nutrition. You know, that there's this disbelief. How could y'all be saying this? And my local news lady that I love and I trust her, you know, or the local health officials or state even, or even national, you know, how could these people really be purposefully trying to not, you know, they're suppressing information. They're not being truthful. That, you know, even harm. I mean, the people can't believe that someone would purposely not want to do what's best and what's right. And I'm not saying those people aren't. I'm saying deception. There's deception and half-truths. And you can only speak from a position of what you know. Well, what do you know? What you were taught in school or your culture. So where are you getting your information from is where I'm getting at. And if we are followers of Christ, who is the Spirit of Truth, and we know, the Bible tells us, there will be a great deception. And this love of money that's the root of all evil. People want to be their own provision and their own protection, this orphan spirit, as opposed to knowing they're a child of God. The one that created them will protect them and take care of them. But when we get this orphan mindset, and then you bring in spirit of fear, God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Okay, so if God didn't give it to you, it's coming from the other side. But you mix all that together, an orphan spirit, a fearful spirit, all this deception and the father of all lies mixed in, and you get people making decisions based out of thoughts that aren't true. And we're all susceptible to untruth and to lies. No one's perfect. There was one that was. And he rejected
right.
those lies with the truth. He was tempted in provision, protection, and identity. And he came back with the truth to Satan's temptation. And the rest of us fail.
Amen.
And so,
like we've gone to church.
Well, that's what it boils down to, in my opinion, is fear of provision, protection, and then you don't know your identity, so you start making all these decisions. And people at the very top that are doing this, it's going to trickle down, because who does our local city and county officials look to? Well, they look to the state. Well, who does the governor's health policy people look to? Well, they look to the doctors. Well, where do they get educated? U.S. medical education system. Well, and where do they look? The CDC, the WHO, the Fauci's. So it all, everyone just keeps looking up, and up at the top are fallible human beings who are susceptible to the orphan mm-hmm. spirit and the spirit of fear and greed and all of that. So we just have to be discerning and careful.
If the media has done anything, it's been very effective in whipping the entire nation into a state of fear, and it's really been sad to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are fighting the good fight along with you, and we're so thankful for the work that you do.
Well, thank you.
Well, one thing we'd like to do, too, Rebecca, is invite you out in September for our Wellness Expo here at the Civic Center in Lubbock. Maybe we could get you out here to hang out with us and, you know, again, educate the community even further. That would be great.
We would love that.
All right.
We'll get you some information for sure.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, Rebecca, we've been honored to have you, blessed to have you on the show. That's Rebecca Hardy, everybody. She is the Director of Operations and State Policy, Texans for VaccineChoice.com is the website. Go check it out. Follow them, support them if you feel so inclined. We're all about health and education here. You're the Cure is the name of the show, because you are the cure. Your body has the cure. The miracle's waiting inside you to be unleashed if you just steward it. And a big part of that is your thoughts. Line those thoughts up with the truth. So thank you again, Rebecca. We will continue to follow y'all's work. Keep up the good work. And we will be back next week. Brian Hooker will be on talking about his study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. Who's the healthiest? Join us next week for that show. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. Have a great day. And thank you.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Edwards, again, Dr. Edwards, MD, VeritasMedical.com, archive programs and other important information to help you regain control of your health. You've been listening to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM.